welcome to episode 64 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Andy, Amy, and Elizabeth. If you love to visit big cities, then London has to be at the top of your list. Rich in history, culture, shopping, and excitement, you can stay busy in London for weeks without seeing it all. So today, we thought we would talk about the basics of London and perhaps inspire you to get there soon. So let's get started. So, yeah, I'm excited about this one because I have not been to London, but it's on my list, on the top of my list. So what's, if you were going to do like 10 hours in London, what would you have to do?
10 hours?
Yeah, well, that's
so short.
I actually
had a client who sort of had to do that.
Yeah,
so she's going for a business trip.
I did too. I had someone who wanted a layover in London, and I talked him into staying actually two nights,
okay.
But let's do, what if you've got a really long layover? What are you going to do?
Andy, I'll let you start first.
Well, I mean, there's so much. I mean, we bandy this phrase around. There's something for everybody. London, it's one of the largest cities in the world. I mean, definitely one of Europe's largest cities. And, you know, it dates its history back to pre-Roman times. And there's still Roman remains in the city. Big center from medieval times. There's still, I mean, you've got to sort of think about London in a number of ways. It's a large metropolitan city with about 8.3 million people in the greater London area. But when you say the city of London, it's just about 1.2 square miles and has a population of really just about 7,000 people.
Really?
That's the city of London.
Yeah.
It basically still, you know, is the old medieval part of the city.
So you're talking like Buckingham Palace and
the city
tower
of Westminster is really the heart of London. So where 10 Downing Street, where the Prime Minister lives, Buckingham Palace, Westminster Abbey, the Houses of Parliament, all on that north bank of the River Thames.
Not the River Thames.
I can't believe you just said that.
Come on, I wasn't really thinking
Sandy's
it.
Sandy's not getting any more clients for England, that's for sure.
But I mean, that's really sort of the historic center of London, the old city of London. But it's just such a large spread-out city, incorporated all these different areas. And sort of you get into sort of the Kensington area, Chelsea, where the Harrods department store is. It's famous for shopping, you know, Oxford Street, Piccadilly Circus. The Tower of London, you can get on the South Bank where all the art museums are, the Tate Modern. There's a museum for every interest, from the Victoria and Albert Museum to the Natural History Museum, one of the largest in the world, the Science Museum,
the
National
British
Portrait
Museum.
Gallery, the Imperial War Museum, you know, all sorts of different things. So to say, if you had 10 hours or a day in London, what would you do? I would have to say you've got to visit the Tower of London.
Yeah.
It's one of these iconic buildings founded by William the Conqueror nearly 1,000 years ago anyway. But the site of so many beheadings where Anne Boleyn lost her head, where famous people were incarcerated.
Yay, Death.
You've got the Death.
Does it feel creepy?
The Beefeaters, the Yeomen of the Guard, see the Ravens, the Crown Jewels. You got so much history in just one site, and from there it's just a short walk up to maybe Buckingham Palace or Westminster Abbey to see where...
Do they do tours of Buckingham?
Yes, you can go inside now, certain times of the year. You get to see some of the staterooms. Obviously, it's still a royal residence. Does anybody know how you know if the Queen is actually in residence at Buckingham Palace?
The guards have their hats on.
They actually fly the Royal Standard, which is...
Okay. That makes more sense.
So that's how you know if she's actually in residence.
Or you can look for the corgis running around the yard.
Yeah, right. The dogs are running around. James Bond jumping out the window.
To see the changing of the guard, you see, you know, those soldiers with their big black Busby hats, the big black bearskin hats with their red tunics and, you know, doing the changing of the guard.
Yeah, and I would sort of say exactly what Andy said, and with Westminster being the other, after Tower of London, not necessarily after, but with Tower of London.
Yeah.
And I say that partially because you can also cross the bridge there and get right to the Eye and the Aquarium. Mm-hmm. So you sort of get, but Westminster, that area, because of it being that sort of city center, you sort of turn around and you're like, oh, there's another famous thing. Oh, look, there's Big Ben. Oh, look, Marvel. You're just tripping over things that you recognize. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. So that probably, if you had like just such a small amount of time, that's a good way to do it.
So I've heard that London and Paris are two of the most expensive cities in the world that you can go to. And so if you were going to do London, say you're staying a week, would it make sense to maybe not stay right in the center and kind of go on the outskirts to save money? Or are you just going to waste money getting back down to the action?
There is an extensive public transportation system. The London Underground is actually the world's oldest underground railway system. Mm-hmm. And it's very extensive, very easy to use. It can be quite expensive, mm-hmm. but you can get passes for it, mm-hmm. That will save you money over several days. I still think that there are some, it's better to stay in sort of, maybe not right in the heart of London, but maybe just on the outside, somewhere maybe like near Hyde Park, that's an easy access to central London. Mm-hmm. Rather than sort of staying way in the outskirts. I've stayed in Hammersmith before, which is a little, probably 5 or 6 miles out. I decided to walk it one day, and that was probably a big mistake. you can really go through some shoe leather walking around London. But you see some great things, and there's some beautiful buildings, even if it's not just the iconic sites that you might think of. Some of the old Georgian houses are really so beautiful in Mayfair and sort of on Park Lane. There's a lot to do, but I would say try and stay as centrally located as possible. Obviously, if you stay on the outskirts, you might save a little bit of money, but London's expensive anyway, so you might not save that much, but you'll also spend a lot more time traveling into the center of the city where most of the attractions are.
Twice I've stayed out near King's Cross Station, which is very residential, and it was definitely cheap. That's why we were there, but it did take a lot longer to get into any, you know. Another time I actually stayed on the South Bank, which can actually be a little less expensive because it's not sort of prime real estate, but it's still very close to some things. You sort of have to watch where you stay there to make sure you're not too far from anything because, you know, you don't have quite, the tube stops aren't like every other block. So you could end up right between a couple and it's a bit of a walk. Not that that's a big problem. Yeah. And you sort of then get the view of the North Bank, which is kind of cool.
Well, it used to be that they said sort of don't go into the east end of London, but since the London Olympics in 2012, that whole area has become gentrified. You've got the Olympic Park area, and they did a lot of clearance in the eastern part of the city around the old city docks and the Isle of Dogs and right on the Thames in the east end of London. And that's just as attractive now for a lot of things as maybe the center of London.
That's where the O2 arena is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and there's actually a commuter ferry that will take you from the O2 pretty much down to the Eye. So you can take that down the Thames, and it's a commuter ferry. It's not really a tourist ferry, so it's not terribly expensive. You can use your Oyster card if you get a pass.
It's kind of akin to using the Staten Island ferry
in
New York.
Exactly.
So what's an Oyster card?
It's basically a pass, a transit pass.
Yeah.
It works on the buses.
You can use it underground, down the buses. Mm-hmm. And city trains.
Some of
the ferries. All right. So that's a good tip. That's get your full pass.
And it's good I believe you actually, as an American, I could be wrong about this, but I think you need to buy that in advance. Like, you can't buy it there.
I think you need to purchase
it in advance, because in general, it's more of a, it's a card for people who live in London and use the transportation all the time.
Right. So your tour company.
Your travel agent can get that for you.
Absolutely.
Before. You don't want to talk about that, but I will tell you, there were a couple of times where we took the tube from Westminster to Victoria, which is literally a stop, and it was £5.
It can be quite expensive.
Yeah. So, because we did not pre-purchase because we were only there for about 24 hours. Fortunately, we have friends there who lent us their Oyster card for the rest of the trip. But yeah, those were some expensive tube rides. So
that's a good, good tip then.
Yeah.
And some of these tube stations are incredible
as well.
They are. I mean, my mother does not do elevators at all. And some of the one we had, I think it was Covent Garden stop. It was 157 steps up to street level, winding stairs at rush hour.
Why doesn't she do elevators?
She doesn't deal with them very well.
She gets claustrophobic.
Yeah, wow. She's a little bit claustrophobic. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But yeah, you can really, yeah, it's a good way to see the city, traveling around by tube. But, and some of the stations are just incredible too. It's built in Victorian times in the late 1800s. So you've got a lot of sort of marble, and some of the stations are Art Deco in style. There's just a lot to see and do. One of the things I like to actually go to is Greenwich on the south bank of the Thames, where the Prime Meridian is. Mm-hmm. 0 degrees yeah. longitude.
You can actually stand in, like,
yeah. Ooh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Like heroines.
Yeah, right. Greenwich Mean Time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where the Royal Observatory.
There's a scene in Thor that was set there, too.
Yeah, and that's the thing, being a world city, a lot of movies are being mm-hmm. set there. You can go, yeah. You can go into Mortimer, you can go to Notting Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I've seen London destroyed.
Hugh Grant, Julia Roberts movie, or Four Weddings and a Funeral, or some of this 7th century London.
You've seen a lot of London in movies mm-hmm. that you don't. And, actually, that time that I stayed on the South Bank, I wandered along the South Bank. I was just wandering along, and lo and behold, there were the benches from Love Actually, where he talks to him about being in love. I was like, holy cow, that's the bench. I like sat on it. It was before selfies, so I couldn't take a picture, but I sat on it. Yeah, I was like, wow, that's
we just have to
there.
Trust yeah. that you were there.
London is one of my very favorite cities, and it's because you just stumble on stuff. And it's you know, there are other cities like this too, where they start digging, they find stuff. You know, there's just right. layers and layers.
The Globe Theatre is a prime example yes. of that. So yeah. Not too terribly long ago, and being recent. And that brings the whole theatre scene. I mean, the West End theatre scene rivals Broadway for productions, as well as some of the plays that you can see all around there as well, and it's just great. The nightlife is phenomenal. Now, it's not a cheap city. You're going to spend some money.
There's a theme to this.
And incidentally, speaking of nightlife, this was a surprise to me. So we were there on a Saturday night recently, had dinner at a nice restaurant that a friend had recommended. We were eating with friends that we knew there, locals, and we had to take the tube back from Victoria to that 5-pound tube ride back to Westminster. Again, not far, but it was dark. The tube shuts down, some parts of it, at 12:30. And, you know, it's funny because there's signs flashing saying, be sure that you're, before you buy a ticket, be sure that your train hasn't already left. Wow. And I'm like, it can't already be 12:30. There's no way. But, you know, because you're in a big city, so everything, time just sort of, you know.
Yeah, I don't think New York would ever shut down that early. So I was like,
12. Now, you can, there's plenty still open. But, yeah. You have to start cabbing it. So you need to plan.
But that's a great way to use a typical London taxi.
Yes, yes.
And those taxi drivers, have you actually read up on the test that they have? They have to know London like the back of their hand.
It's called the knowledge.
Yes.
So is London like... So this is one of the things about Pittsburgh that always frustrates me.
Are you comparing London to Pittsburgh?
You can't do that. I'm sorry, Sandy. I'm going to...
But this is what I was going to say. Pittsburgh is not a grid. It's an older city for mm-hmm. the U.S. It's an older city, and it kind of just gets built up and built up and built up.
Yeah,
and so
that's
nothing's
exactly the way.
That's yeah. That's the way I picture it.
Few European cities are built on a grid.
Right. Yeah. So Pittsburgh.
That was very Napoleon. Yes,
I did it. I tied it.
Ever be mentioned in the same breath.
No, that's actually as you travel around Europe, you will hear. I mean, the one thing Napoleon did for us was he gave us gridded streets. That was sort of But yeah, in London there are actually streets that are one house length. You know, like yeah, it's crazy.
So it's a driveway. Yeah,
as well. It's I can't have Brick Lane. I think is just. Pudding Lane. Mm-hmm. Anybody know what's famous about Pudding Lane?
No.
I think it's having a fantastic name. It's where the Great Fire of London started in 1666 in a bakery. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Burned pretty much the entire city to the ground.
Yeah. I read about that in one of my historic novels.
It was an important thing that happened in London.
Yeah, and
near the
whole novel ties in around it.
I mean, if you like history, London is a place to go. Whether it's Roman history or medieval history or just the pageantry, you can go to Horse Guards Parade and see the mounted cavalry, see the changing of the guard. Go to Westminster Abbey and go look at Poets' Corner, where the greats of English literature and poetry are buried, anywhere from Kipling to pretty much any famous English writer throughout the ages. It has a memorial there.
Westminster Abbey is full of interesting dead people, too.
Yeah.
So, Andy, did you ever live in London?
Nope.
How far away were you when you grew up?
I grew up about 200 and some miles north of London.
Okay.
It was one of these places, you know, there's a big, like here in the States, there's a big north-south divide. It's just reversed. Mm-hmm. I grew up in northern England. London's obviously in the south of the country. And it was just one of those places that they would just beware when you go to London.
it's a big city.
I mean, it's a big city with you know, with any sort of issues that you would encounter at
characters.
Any metropolis.
Right.
When I was growing up, and you know, I'd have to go down. I had a lot of job interviews in London when I was just coming out of university. And it was right around the time of the IRA troubles. Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about some of the issues. And I say don't let things like that bother you. If you're worried about everything that could possibly happen, whether it be a terrorist attack or anything, you'd never leave your house.
Yeah.
Obviously, take due care and attention. You'll notice it in most British train stations and bus stations, there aren't any trash cans. And that's for the sole reason that, you know, so that people can't put it, or terrorists can't put explosive devices in them. So you just take the trash and you dispose of it elsewhere. But I've been caught up in bomb scares that thankfully turned out to be nothing. But, you know, there's often the police are around, they direct you and where to go. And But there's a lot of people, you hear a lot of different languages, particularly in the hotel community. I joke, the last time I was in London, I struggled to hear English spoken. It's a big world city, a lot of sort of Eastern Europeans come and work in the hotels, a lot of people from all over the world come and work in London and live in London.
Do you find that more after the EU and stuff because they kind of have easier passage?
Yeah, it's definitely freedom of movement is a whole lot easier. It's a great city, a very vibrant city. I think London has a lot to offer for pretty much everybody. I'd love to take my kids there sometime soon. My son, who's nearly 13, would love the Tower of London. My daughter would probably love some of the Harrods department store or, the London Eye. That's the big Ferris wheel that's right on the back.
We have that in Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach in London now.
Actually, it's the same company, though, that made the Eye. Wow. Made the one. It really is true.
All right.
Everything doesn't look out over the house's phone.
It does not. It looks out over the Atlantic Ocean, which is
great. Well, there's something to be said. You know, walking around, suddenly you hear the chimes of Big Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's just fantastic. Something, you know, I love hearing those.
And there's so much old and new right next to each other, which is also very cool. So, like, the Millennium Bridge actually crosses over right in front of St. Paul's. Sorry, St. Paul's, which is the Mary Poppins Feed the Birds, was on the steps of St. Paul's.
Oh.
That, like, really old. So, yeah, and the Millennium Bridge is very, very new. So, sort of there's all that juxtaposition. And from the Millennium Bridge, you can see the Globe Theater. You know, there's, like, all this sort of juxtaposition.
And the Shard is a new office building. It's very sort of distinctive in its design. Now, one of my favorite things, you mentioned St. Paul's Cathedral. One of my favorite things to do there is go to the Whispering Gallery. Have you ever done that?
I have not been inside. Yeah, I've been on the steps and around it.
The first trip I ever had to London, this is aging me a little bit, was in 1981 in the summer for Charles and Diana's wedding.
Really? Did you see that?
My mom took me to London for the first time. We got up at 3:00 in the morning.
Wow.
And got a front row seat right where the parade and all the pageantry was going in front of us to St. Paul's. And the day before, we'd actually gone into the cathedral. If you go up into it, because it's got that very iconic dome built by Christopher Wren, or designed by Christopher Wren, the famous English architect, you can have two people stand on either side of the dome, and you can whisper into the dome itself, and you can hear crystal clear on the other side of the dome exactly what's been said by your friend on the other side of the dome. It is absolutely incredible.
So, I hate to say this,
but...
It's just plain Pittsburgh.
No, it's actually on NC State's campus. I'm not kidding. It's not a dome.
Well,
it's like
Sandy does not need to leave the country. She can stay right in the good U.S.
I'm sure they got the idea from St. Paul's. No, but like seriously, when we first moved to Raleigh, we had some neighbors that took us out, and they went to NC State, and there is like this lawn thing. I've never found it again, and I've been down to NC State a ton. But, we did
that. You know what this proves? All good things come from London.
that part of civilization
they originate. And honestly, I mean, it's pretty hard to trace anything without, you know, saying at some point it was attached to London in some way.
I'm sorry. I feel like such a buffoon this week.
There are so many things that go on. I mean, if you're a sports fan, London's a great place. There are professional soccer teams. You can, if you're an Arsenal or Tottenham fan or Chelsea fan, you can go see a game there. But if you go in the summer, there's the Wimbledon Tennis Championships. You can go. Say that again?
David Beckham, London.
Oh, he's from the East End of London. Yes.
Yeah, don't you remember in Love Actually when Hugh Grant says that David Beckham's foot is from British? Britain has such good things.
I think one thing that's worth mentioning, and I say London's an expensive city, but the food there is well worth looking at, whether it's visiting an English pub or trying one of a Gordon Ramsay restaurant like the Ivy or something like that. There's something for everybody. You can get into the East End of London and try sort of eel pie or pie and mash or something like that. That's typically English working class food that's served in a great sort of atmosphere. Hear some Cockney spoken. it's just something for everybody, whether it's in the historic heart of the city or maybe a little bit more in the outskirts of Notting Hill. That's where a lot of the West Indian population lives.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hear that the Indian food is really good.
Well, I think one thing that I learned this last trip, especially with modern inventions, is it's really important that you Yelp things because use local information if you can, because all these places, all this old and new, there's a Starbucks on every corner in London, sometimes too. And then you get these pubs that are, the authentic English pub that's as authentic as anything here. So, but if you Yelp and try to find places, we actually went into a pub that was in Covent Garden that was around the corner and down a back alley. We would have never just stumbled upon it, but we Yelped it and, it got good reviews and we went and found it. It's like the Lamb and the Fig or something like that. I can't remember. We walk in and there's a sign showing that it was actually named by Elizabeth the First.
Wow.
First.
Yeah.
Old pub. And forgot the name.
We went on a Sunday, which I highly recommend too. If you go into a real British pub on a Sunday, you can get a Sunday roast.
So
good. So good. And the beer.
And they only make it on a Sunday?
Well, that's a special meal.
It's a Sunday lunch.
Yeah, it's a Sunday meal.
You're putting in lots and lots of vegetables and gravy. Yeah.
I'm sure they had good food the rest of the time, but I was there on a Sunday, damn it.
All right, Andy, what is in Yorkshire pudding? Is it pudding?
Yorkshire pudding, it's really sort of like a pancake batter. But the trick to making a good Yorkshire pudding, and I'm from Yorkshire, so I got my mum's recipe. It's heating the oven up and getting your fat so it's smoking, and then you drop what is pancake batter in it and cook it for about 20 minutes, and it rises up. It just becomes fluffy, and you pour gravy over it. And if you're eating it correctly, and I know this is a podcast about London, but since you asked, in Yorkshire, we eat it as a starter to the meal, like an appetizer.
So it's like bread.
We don't have it with the meat.
Okay.
Yeah, because, it's a working class area. It's an industrial area.
But Andy, if you don't eat your meat, how can you have any pudding?
You
can't have any pudding if you don't eat your meat.
And that actually, that is a good segue. We have not yet, we have a Yorkshireman on the show. We've done two shows about England, and we have not yet actually talked about York and the Yorkshire area. So we need to do that soon. Don't you agree, Andy?
Yeah,
we need to do that for sure. I will make sure.
And we'll do one about Pittsburgh.
No. No, actually, at this point, we're not going to do Pittsburgh just on principle.
No. I'm telling you guys, it's so cool.
We talked about that amusement park near Pittsburgh. Is that not close enough? We did.
We talked about Kennywood and Idlewild, but,
How could we forget?
How could we?
Oh, my God.
I think this podcast is about an end.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. I could go on and on and on, but...
I'm going to say, this is my quote for the day. Samuel Johnson, the English writer, said, "When a man is tired of London, he is tired of life. There is something going on in every corner, whether it's green spaces in Hyde Park or historic buildings or palaces or castles, to plays and musicals and pretty much anything you can think of. London has it."
Yes, absolutely.
If you're tired of London, you're tired of life.
I agree. I don't know that you could ever go to London and see everything.
All right, let's book it. We need to go. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. You can click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or just search for Fly Away. Or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Amy, Elizabeth, Andy, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.